The big man snarled.
My name is Overton Cawder.
And he claims to be your son, Uncle Ryan.
Nathan walked across the drawbridge through a corridor of people, his boots clicking loudly on the hard cobblestones. Unobserved, Dean retrieved his father's blaster from where it had fallen, and tucking it inside his shirt for safekeeping, started working his way toward the truck. Stopping a short distance from the two combatants, the Baron of Front Royal paused.
Oh, sorry. I forgot you hate being called by your name from kin. My apologies, Uncle.
Keeping a neutral expression, Ryan said nothing at the bald-faced lie. One of the first things he ever said to Nathan was not to call him Uncle. He had a name, so use it. This backward version of that was a message of some sort. But what exactly did it mean? The three men stood in a circle of anxious people, brown shirts and blue scattered throughout the assembly. The tension was thick in the air. Nobody in the crowd was talking, some barely breathing. Then a fish jumped in the moat, catching an insect.
Want to come over here and talk with me for a tick, Nathan?
Ryan crossed his arms, the fingers of his right hand dangling dangerously near his knife again.
I'm not a prisoner. Overton and I currently share the duties of being Baron.
Why?
Out of necessity. I arrived a few months ago with my Sekhmen to see my ancestral home.
And stayed.
I asked them to.
Nathan's stomach tightened at the thought he might already have condemned them both to death with that tiny slip.
The Ville has been under constant attack by gangs of Coldhearts and needed more troops badly. They arrived when sorely needed.
Slow and careful, Doc walked to Ryan and passed him the Sig Sauer.
So you saved the day and claimed to be my son.
Ryan checked the blaster for damage and tucked it into his holster, but with the safety in the off position. The man didn't relax his stance.
I am your son, father. Your bastard son, abandoned 20 years ago in the Deathlands.
Both arms full, a blue Sekhman went to Overton and returned his arsenal of dropped weapons. The new Baron armed himself, but never took his eyes off Ryan.
Well, you certainly have the manners of a bastard. And just who the hell was your mother? Anybody I know?
Overton shoved his own panga into a sheath.
Remember a gaudy slut down in Texas named Havila?
Havila? Yeah, I remember. I spent a night with her.
You might have been with her for a single night, but you were the only customer that night. So when Mother found out she was carrying me a month later, there was no question as to who the father was.
Instantly, Ryan knew the story was a lie. He and Havila hadn't done that kind of loving. She used her hands and mouth on him several times, but it had been her time of the month, so he declined anything further. Havila knew her trade all right, but she would have to be some kind of a supernatural mutie to get pregnant down the throat. So either Overton was lying, or he believed it was the truth and somebody else had lied to him. There were wheels within wheels here. As Ryan glanced about casually, as if in deep thought, he saw a brief flash of reflected light from the roof of the keep. A double flash would have been binocs, a single meant a telescope, or a scope on a high-powered sniper rifle ready to remove his head. Then a second flash from the trees caught his attention, and Ryan realized he was caught in their crossfire. By stopping the truck outside the Ville, he had hoped to force Overton into an awkward position, but instead had played right into the man's trap. The original plan was probably for Ryan to be killed by a silenced shot from the keep while he and Overton fought. Who would notice a small-caliber wound in the body of a man already bleeding? It was a good plan. However, ambushes always fell apart if the victim didn't do exactly what was expected. Taking a hesitant step, Ryan extended his arms toward the younger man. Overton recoiled as if expecting a strike, but stood resolutely his ground.
Yeah, I can see Havila in you.
Ryan forced some emotion into his voice as he walked closer. He felt like a triple-stoop fool, but an excited hush fell over the watching crowd.
And we look so much alike. It must be true. You're my son. My long-lost son.
Lunging forward, Ryan hugged the total stranger. Overton stood there as stiff as a board, completely baffled by this unexpected turn of events. Then, ever so slowly, he returned the hug, and the crowd erupted into wild cheers. Surging forward, the people lifted both men onto their shoulders and carried them triumphantly across the drawbridge and into the ville. Clouds of acrid smoke drifted over the battlefield at Beaurunville. The dead and the dying lay everywhere, destroyed wags and crushed horses burning under the fiery sky. Even the fortress itself, barely visible above the line of trees separating the ville from the war zone, had several large holes punched through its thick granite walls. Standing amid the destruction, a large blonde woman in ripped army fatigues dug loose 5.56mm rounds from her shoulder bag and hastily thumbed the bullets into the exhausted clip of her repaired military blaster. When it was full, she grabbed the M16 leaning against her leg, slammed in the clip, and worked the bolt with practiced ease. The Predark M16 was a mismatch. The barrel came off an M4, the recoil spring was cut down from a Stoner, the carrying strap made of horsehide, and the replacement stock hand-carved by a local carpenter. But the deadly blaster functioned smoothly, and that was the most important thing. Blinking the sweat from her eyes, Baron Susan Markham started to walk through the destroyed cornfield. Dead Sekhmen and residents lay everywhere, many of them missing arms or legs. She wanted to avert her eyes, but forced herself to look at each and every one of them. These were her people, and their deaths were a personal matter. Scattered among the locals were the dozens upon dozens of Oriental men dressed in black. Even their faces had been masked, leaving only a tiny slit for them to see through.
Baron!
Susan spun on a heel, and exhaustion almost made her fire purely on reflex.
Chatty, is that you?
Out of the billowing clouds came a small man wearing a garage mechanic's jumpsuit, the loose pant legs tucked into hiking boots. A bloody tourniquet was wrapped around his right arm, the hand tucked into his belt to keep it still. Fresh blood trickled down his cheek from a shallow gash in his scalp. The leather bandolier crossing his chest was empty of rounds, the knife sheath at his hip empty, and the staggering man carried a shotgun with a bent barrel. But he was still standing, and seemed fiercely proud of the fact.
Did we get him?
Sec Chief Charles Chattington nodded wearily.
The bear traps we laid killed his horse, and the archers put enough shafts into him for us to use the bastard as kindling.
What about the bomb he was carrying, that satchel thing? I heard a blast, but it sounded distant, muffled.
It was. We sank a butcher's hook into the samurai, tied it to the saddle of a horse, and whipped the beast until it galloped off a ravine. Hell of an explosion.
Hell of a fight. How did that happen?
The Baron gestured at his broken blaster.
I found one of our Sekhmen wearing their black, figured he must be the traitor, and decided to convince him what a bad idea it had been to rat us out.
With an effort of will, he forced his fingers apart, and the weapon dropped to the ground with a clatter.
Take my word on it. The matter is settled.
Good.
The Baron handed him the reloaded M16 hybrid.
Here. Can't walk around naked, and I've still got my Webley.
The Sec Chief nodded his thanks and took the blaster, resting the hot barrel on his shoulder.
30?
He shook the machine gun as if he could gauge the amount of ammo left by the noise it made. Wiping the sweat off her face, Susan almost smiled. The Sec man never missed a trick. Even a weapon from his own baron was suspect.
Yes, the clip is fully loaded. 30 live rounds.
Good.
He surveyed the cornfield around them.
Did we get them all?
Yes and no.
A terrible sadness welled within the baron's chest.
We stopped their charge, but a handful escaped to the south.
Bad news for somebody else.
Not our problem.
Too true.
In the distance, wounded men staggered through the battlefield, helping others to their feet and taking blasters from the hands of those who couldn't use them anymore.
What about the leader?
Susan gestured and walked through the litter of corpses until she reached a blackened crater in the ground. The pit was 20 feet deep and over 30 wide. Nothing was at the bottom but some tiny scraps of debris.
That him?
She nodded.
Davis in the high tower got him with the sniper rifle just as he was going to launch another rocket from the RPG. He lost his grip and the weapon discharged straight down at the ground.
The Baron glanced at the smashed barricade that blocked the main road to Beaurunville. The timbers and concrete were scattered like broken toys from the devastating rounds of the pre-dark bazooka.
Blow the hell out of our troops, though.
Cheryl seemed to read her mind.
Fucking samurai bastard was clever. Too damn clever.